Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is February 19th, 2018. It is a Monday. It is also President's Day in America, so people are off. The banks are closed, no mail, but not everybody's off, just some people are off. It's one of those holidays that some companies recognize and some don't. So if you have to work, you know, sorry, it's just the way it is. But for the most part, people are off. But today's show, do you believe in yourself? And I thought, you know, there's certain markers. Like, we never really stop. We don't walk around and say, oh, I believe in myself or I don't believe in myself. It's something we think about. Like, we say to ourselves, you know, I can't do that. I can do that. I want to talk to this person. I'm shy to talk to this person. I don't know if I'm the person to dress up like that. Whatever it is you're thinking that you can't do or that you can't do every day. I can try this. I can't. I'll do this in the future. And if you keep pushing off the future, you know, how much do you really believe you can do something? Sometimes you believe it to a point and then you're like really funny about it and you just put it off. And then someone says, weren't you going to do that? Wow, you told me about that years ago. Do you still want to do that? Oh, no, you know, that just kind of came and went. And we start talking like that. We're not really paying attention to our habits. We're just kind of moseying on along, and it doesn't mean, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Nothing that you could do does, but you can take that good, bad, and indifferent and make your life feel way above that, way above just the same old, you know. You'll talk to someone and they'll be like, oh, the same old, and you're like, no, you know, I'm tired of that, but I just don't know how to get out of it. And every once in a while, somebody comes up to you and talks to you and says, wow, you look like you could run a company, or you look like, you know, the greatest mother on earth, or the greatest dad, or somebody just compliments you just for something you're doing normally, and you never forget it because that person meant it when they said it to you. And you knew that there's something in you that can take yourself further, but you kind of just don't do it. And when I meet people like that, the things they end up doing, once they make a mental switch that, you know, they're stronger than they are or think they are, they end up doing really well. And it's so cool to watch. Because I realized, you know, what does that feel like when you believe in yourself? And then after seeing them, once they've achieved certain things, once we've worked on something, what happened is really interesting, because you would think that it was like this great explosion of energy, but their attitude ended up being more calm, more content, trusting their comments more. When they gave advice, they made sure it was usable advice, something they've done, not something they wish they could do. And that's a huge marker when you start talking like that. Let's say you're talking to your children and you want them to do better than you in school than you did, or go further than you in school than you did. A kid feels obligated to you to do that. But if you tell the child, when I was in school, this is what I did, no matter how far you went, I loved school because I learned how to do certain things I would not have learned outside of school. It taught me to think, even though I might not remember every class or every subject. But it taught me to, like, put ideas into motion at times. And when you talk like that, that's talking from advice as opposed to fear or deficit that you didn't do something. If a teenager comes to you and they want to talk about girls, let's say your son comes to you and he's afraid he might go too far, and, you know, we all know carry a condom and all of that. Even though they're teenagers, you get scared. You don't want you know, pregnancies and that, but we come to them from fear. Everything we say is don't do this, don't do that, because we're scared they're going to do it. Our biggest fear is they're going to do it, and they pick that up. But what if you talked to that boy and said, hey, you know what, it's going to be hard, because at your age, you guys are both so hormonal, and that's normal. Some people give in to it, some people don't. Some people end up with a pregnancy, some don't. All of that are possibilities of something that happens. So just know, you know, there's choices that you have. You're going to face these feelings. I mean, is that the most realistic thing you can say? Yeah. But that's something they can hear, because that's your experience. I know when I was that age, that was hard for me. Yeah, I had to make a decision. This is the decision I made. This is why. This is how it affected my life. When we can really talk about the things we need to talk about, which is us, people, you know that you not only believe in yourself, but now you've carried that over into your life. It's very subtle. You become objective. You don't walk around blaming people for everything. But what you do is that you say, hey, you know what? I know that isn't great for you to talk to me like that. I don't deserve it. And maybe you can come back to me when you don't need to scream and shout. I'll still be here, still listen. If you don't feel a need, it's not like you're ultra calm, but you don't feel a need, which is a difference than just being calm, to attack anybody, because in your mind, you know nobody owes you anything. That your happiness that you feel, it does start with you. Because if you don't feel it, you're not going to be happy. I don't care how happy the people are around you, you're not going to be happy. If anything, when you're around a bunch of happy people and you don't feel it, you feel sad. Because you're like, why are they all so happy and why am I not? But there's also this feeling that you get where you walk a little straighter. You talk more clearly. You don't have anything to hide. It's not that you tell somebody all your secrets, because that means you're not hiding anything. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is know that what you know about yourself, you're okay with. There was someone that came to me long, long time ago, and she's successful. She's, you know, doing great in her world. She built her world. She left her job, started from nothing, and built her world. Beautiful woman. And she had done something in her childhood that really kept gnawing at her. And the more successful she was becoming, the more it gnawed at her. It was just like at her ankles, nipping at the bit. And she just didn't know how to get rid of it. And so she started telling me about it. And as she was telling me about it, I knew she was getting rid of it, because I was the first person she ever told that she was even starting to talk about it, where she was no longer a prisoner. It's like the door open, you got to walk out, and now you got to get used to being free with that information still being true, because it happened. But as she started to tell me, I saw how sorry she was. I saw how sad it made her feel that that was her. So I said to her, you have to forgive yourself, and it's not going to be like an instant thing. But every time you think of it, think, I was a child. Had I known better, I would not have done that to anybody. Tell that person you're sorry in your heart, Because you have to start with you. She may see that person again or not. The person may not have seen it the same way she did it. Whatever it was. But if she can go back and have that discussion, that would be the best. And to say she's sorry to the person. But for starters, say that within yourself. And as you grow, you start to see that was a child that did that. Had you known what you know now, you would not have done that. You would not have needed to do that. So whatever it is that you have in your mind, in your heart, that you carry, nobody on earth, as far as I know, is perfect. Even Christ said, I was never perfect, but I was pure. And when we're kids, we have no blanket of experience to draw from. We're creating that blanket of experience to draw from. But the way we would think about ourselves then, oh, everybody's better than me. Everyone's smarter than me. Oh, everyone's dating, not me. Oh, everyone has a boyfriend or a girlfriend, not me. Oh, everyone's parents got them a car, not me. And we get into this mode and we stay in it even when nobody's doing that to us, but we're doing it to us now. You have to ask yourself, question yourself every time you do a thought like that to yourself. Say, why do I think like that? Question it. Say, hey, why do I think like that? Why do I just assume that I can't go out? Why do I assume dating is hard? Well, it really is hard. That's why I assume it. It's not just in my mind. But knowing it's hard, how do people date? What are the most successful ways? Well, the number one way, by the way, is friends introducing you to people. That's the best way. Isn't that cool? They just gave it away. I love knowing those things because even, you know, I have kids of dating age. And I see that struggle. And I thought, gosh, dating is brutal. You can believe in yourself all day long. But sometimes in that arena, confidence, because now you're dealing with a person, you don't know what they're like yet. They don't know what you're like yet. But it scares even the strongest of people. So I know how brutal dating is. I know. The stories are hilarious. And they are. And if you could look at it that way, you can do it much differently. You can see it for what it is. That until you decide to be committed to someone, until you get to that day, think of it as hilarious. Think of it as, you know, you looking for someone to share your life with for real. And you don't have to think about it so far out that I'm going to share the rest of my life with and this is who I'm picking. Just that you're going to share your life with right now. Because the way you feel about you, the belief you have in yourself about you, will come through. You will never have to say it. How you shake hands, how you say hello, how you ask the person about their life. It's easy when you don't feel like you have to tell them about yours right away, but ask about their life. Let them tell you. Add to it as you grow along in the conversation, maybe similar things and give and take. That takes so much pressure off when you feel like you aren't the one who has to do all the talking. Because that puts on a lot of pressure. It's not like, you know, the John show or the Mary show. It's a conversation, and if you can just see it as that, that confidence you have in the fact that you know that, it's the same in a job interview. A lot of times we think when we get a job that we want to stay there the rest of our lives. For some reason that stays in our mind that, you know, do I want to do this every day? Because every day to us is the rest of our life. Or worried if somebody's going to give you the job. If you go in and you believe in yourself, how does that look? Well, you listen. You let them tell you about the company. You let them ask you questions. You answer them, knowing that if they got you, you know you're going to do a good job. They would be lucky to have you. The fact that you're sitting there tells you you're qualified to be there already. All you're trying to do now is establish if you and them decide that you guys want to see each other every day. And you yourself may not want to be the one that wants to be there, and they may want you, and then you have a choice. Or the other way around, they need to know that there is a, they call it a cultural fit, on levels of belief. Is it a company that will believe in you as much as you believe in yourself? That's a question to ask. Let's say I come into the company. Let's say I learn this job super quick. Let's say I want to grow in this company. Can I? Can you imagine asking that question? The guy'd be like, hey, you actually can. There's a lot of avenues you can go. Then you say, this is the right place for me because that's my personality. Or let's say another thing comes up where they say, you know what, this is the only opening we have. Openings open up far and few between. People in the company generally don't leave. We treat our employees well. You may have to stay in this position for a while. And if you're just like a little whippersnapper and you want to keep growing, that might not be the company for you. But if you're a steady Eddie and you know that you like to have the same kind of structure every day, that might be the perfect company for you. It all depends on what you want, knowing enough in your heart what you want. So what does that feel like when you believe in yourself? It feels like you're the best representative for your soul. You look at your soul as you representing it for this world that it lives in right now. Think about that. Just think about how big that is. What a great job you already have is to represent your soul to a company, to a date, to your children, to your partner, to your parents, to your brothers and sisters. Your soul is here. You're representing it. Think about how huge that is. It's so cool. How do you represent your soul? How does it feel when you honor who you are? How does that feel? It feels like, wow, I can take care of myself. And if you feel that, if you feel like when you ask your question, am I taking the best care of me that I can? And you start to find ways to do that. And you start to realize that the best ways to take care of yourself isn't from the outside in, because that stuff is going to come and go. But when you know that no matter where you are, no matter where you live in this world, no matter what job you work, no matter what relationship you're in, you're going to find a way. You're going to find a way to represent yourself well. That's honoring. Honoring that soul that you have. And that's how it affects each and every day. It will affect each and every day for the rest of your life in the best way, no matter who you meet. And in the beginning, it's funny because when you think, well, I'm representing my soul, but you are. But when you think of it that way, there is a different level of self-respect that kicks in. And it kicks in so gently, but so powerfully. It's like I couldn't even finish the word powerfully. Powerfully. And that power just comes from knowing what you know. You know it when you meet someone who feels it. You feel safe with them. You feel comfortable with them. You feel like they know who they are. They do know who they are. And you find out it's not all fireworks. They are the firework. They don't need fireworks to be going off for something to be good. They already feel that. And then you realize that fireworks come. Fireworks come from people who know how to represent the soul that they have. Representation. You're in charge of it. And imagine we live in a world that taught us we're not. We live in a world that made us question that. We live in a world that made us feel that that's a very rare commodity, that everyone's insecure. Don't worry, you're in a good bunch. Everyone feels that way. Everyone's scared. Everyone's having a hard time. No, they're not. That's a lie. The minute you get out of your house and start meeting people, you know that that's not true. Then you wonder, why do we keep getting these messages? And I always go back to the fact there's a lot of money to be made on insecurity. I know for a fact when Christ said, you know, trust your comments, and the advice you give comes from your experience as opposed to something you wish or fear that you didn't get, didn't have, didn't, all these negatives. Is I did that somehow. I had to learn so quietly every nuance in these last 15 years, and I'm just starting now to discover how much of it I had to learn because I think it's over. I don't know yet if there's more to learn on that topic. But how gently the stuff that takes away from us comes in. If you were to watch, let's say you turn on a television, and you haven't watched television for too long, let's say you haven't watched it, let's say, for 2 months or 3 months, and you haven't heard commercials, let's say, and you started listening to those commercials, you almost can't take it. Because every commercial feeds on something that's missing or should be missing in you. You might not have even thought about what they're talking about. And then all of a sudden, they tell you, you should worry about wrinkles on your neck. You should worry about feeling a little down, and there's a medication to take care of it. You should worry about, and they're longer commercials than they used to be, and they're more direct hit to your psyche. And there's, you know, I know for the listeners who haven't heard this, I have a son who's autistic, and he's 25 years old now, and every time he'd watch TV, when a commercial would come on, he'd mute it. I didn't know why. It's like all of a sudden the TV goes dead, and I'm just in the house, and I could hear the show, and then I hear dead. Then I hear the show, then I hear dead space. And he finally said to me when I asked him, what are you doing? He said, oh, this is when they try to scare people to be themselves, and I can't hear it. And he would mute the commercials. He did it naturally because in his mind, he felt bad that anyone would say what they were saying in a commercial. I realized that that boy that I have in this house understood at a primal level, talk like that doesn't work. And he had to hold on to every ounce of believing in himself because the world was telling him not to, because he had autism. But I believed in him, believe in him, current forever from the day I had him. I didn't walk around saying, oh, well, you have autism, so don't worry about that. We'll take care of that for you, and leave him not knowing how to do anything. I pushed him even harder because I knew there was greatness in there. And because of him, I learned there's greatness in every single person on the face of our earth. Just because we don't know somebody, it doesn't mean that they don't care about life. Because think of all the people that you thought, you know, before you met them, oh, they're just a show off, or oh, they're just this, or oh, they're just that. But then you meet them and you say, oh my God, I really like them. Oh, I'm so shocked. I never thought I would, blah, blah, blah. I thought they were stuck up. I thought they were this. I thought they were that. And you go crazy because now you were proven wrong in a good way. That is true for most of the people you're going to meet. So for everyone you haven't met, assume the best of them. Because when you talk to them, that's going to be your energy exchange. Assume that, hey, I'm representing my soul. Imagine the energy exchange between you and yourself. And I have to say that, not that you're two people. But when you don't even think of your soul and your mind is doing all the work, your mind is limited. But your soul is unlimited. I'm going to say that one more time because Christ was so adamant on that your mind is limited, but your soul is unlimited. So when you represent only your mind, then the ego can come in easily. Not that it's good or bad, it's just, but ego is a threshold. Ego is not meant to run your show, it's meant for you to grow over. But your soul is meant to run your show, to run this time you live on earth. But the challenge through free will is for us to get to it. That challenge is for us to get to it. And I have to tell you, there is never a shortage of surprises when you really tap into your soul. Our souls are so beautifully wired to our bodies, to our minds while we are here, that when we tap into it, there is nothing but surprise inside. There's this beauty, this calmness, this knowing that grounds you into realizing that your resources really do exist within you. I know people say that, and I see all these quotes on Facebook about, you know, just do this or just do that, or we're great, yay, rah. But we don't know how to do that. And my job is just to break it down. Break it down and make it look like your life. Make it be that calmness. It's not something you get to. It's something you do arrive to. We do arrive to this. And then there's something even after that. That's the wonder of how deep the soul can go. We are so amazing. And even in when we're left with anger sometimes and people have gotten no help or no attention to stop their rage, look at how deep their rage goes. That's the other side of the pendulum. And then we hear about it on the news. But equal to that rage is beauty. And unfortunately, when we leave each other behind, when there's no one to take care of us, to show us their support, sometimes we do fail because we stay in our mind. The combination of the mind and the soul help us navigate in this world, because if we're just soul, we're not realistic about what's actually happening. And if we're just mind, we're also not realistic about what's just happening. The pendulum will always swing. But for the most part, every single one of us is already supported to a certain place to where we can tap in. You guys, it's already down to like 8 seconds. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.